Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The question before us today is, who are these guys? What do we know about the Magi? There is nothing in Matthew's text that tells us they are kings. There is nothing that tells us that their names are Balthasar and Melchior and Caspar. There's nothing that tells us that there are three of them. Now, this is not going to be a sermon in which I tell you the Bible is not true. But why are these people important? Why do we still tell stories about them? Well, I would like to think that the Magi are important because of what they did. Now, do you know anything about Magi? The odds are no. I recently got a book that was published by a scholar about the Magi, and the book really focuses on the reception of the Magi throughout the years and the traditions we've built up around them. But the key fact matters. Matthew tells us a story about these figures traveling from the east and coming to see the baby Jesus. Now, back in Jesus' time, the east was essentially Parthia, what we now call Iran or Persia. And there were all sorts of beliefs out there that people didn't get. Now, if you've studied the Hebrew Bible, you know that dabbling in black magic is considered a no-no. And the Magi were practitioners of that, at least according to the Jews. But it was important that these people came to seek out Jesus. And I keep saying that over and over again. It was important. So they've appeared in our creche scene now, and you can see they're all dressed regally. Why would these foreigners be seeking out the King of the Jews? Think about it. Back in the time of Jesus, the Jews were nobodies. They were occupied by the Romans, and the only power that mattered in that part of the world was Rome. So why weren't they seeking out Augustus or Tiberius or even the Roman governor? Instead, the book tells us that they sought out Jesus, the King of the Jews, and they brought him gifts. Now, I've mentioned this in years past, but I immediately think of the Monty Python scene in The Life of Brian, and at least one of our congregants knows what I'm talking about. But if you haven't seen the movie, I would encourage you to watch it. It's not replete with great theological insights, but it does a good job of taking apart the story and turning it to humorous ends. And Eric Idle, who is a very talented comedian, plays the mother of Brian. And when the Magi show up, they bring in their gifts, and they offer the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. And Brian's mother asks, "What is myrrh?" And they reply, "It is a bomb." And she freaks out because, of course, she interprets bomb to be B-O-M-B and not a B-L-M, B-A-L-M. But there's actually something insightful in that. The myrrh that was presented to Jesus was a bomb. Jesus explodes our expectations. At least he should. Now, have you ever sought something, some meaning in your life? I'm pleased that you all are here today. And you're in church because something spoke to you. And yes, I know it's snowing, and I really don't have place to say this, but this is not a don't go out into the snow kind of storm. It will be as the day builds on. But we came to church today. What kind of travel conditions did the Magi experience when they were seeking out Jesus? They most likely traveled in a caravan. They traveled in the desert. They didn't have places to stay every night. They were exposed to dangers. Robbers, thugs, highwaymen, people who wanted to rob them. their trip would not have been comfortable, even if they were kings. It would have been hard. And yet they sought out Jesus. Now, I'll remind you that the Gospel of Matthew was written to the Jewish church. And there were people in the Jewish community who accepted Jesus, and there were people who did not. And this is a way for Matthew to say, pay attention. Our God is speaking to everyone. You'll remember Luke's gospel has the announcement of Jesus' birth being made to the shepherds. And the shepherds were essentially nobodies, but they were Jewish nobodies. And tradition would have accepted that they were acceptable people to receive a message from God. Matthew is saying it is not a simple community affair. Jesus' message and his birth are meant for all the world. So why did Herod want to know about Jesus? Well, if you look in your bulletin, we read that King Herod, who is the only king that we know of in this story, and frankly, he was only a king because the Romans made him a king, was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, I can get Herod being freaked out by the news of Jesus' birth, but all Jerusalem? Really? That's where I think that the gospelist was engaged in some hyperbole. All Jerusalem would have meant all of the A-listers, all of the people around the circle of power. They were the ones who recognized that Jesus was a threat. And yes, I use that word advisedly. Jesus was a threat. Jesus endangered their grip on power. Jesus challenged the hold of people who wanted to keep the system the way it was, staying the way it was. Jesus, as you recall, in the temple later on, overturns the tables of the money changers. Jesus wants a fair deal for everyone. So what does Herod do? Well, he starts asking questions. And he talks with the Magi who show up looking for Jesus. And he puts on this face of innocence and says, I'd like to know more about him. Would you go look for him? And then report back to me on what you find. Now, these Magi appear to be very naive people. They take Herod at his word, and they look for Jesus, and they find him, and they follow the star. And then, after they find Jesus, when they go to bed, they hear in a dream that they should go home by another way, that Herod is not to be trusted, that they need to do things differently. And you may recall in the Christmas prayer we said last week, we asked God to help us leave the holiday by a different road and to take a different path. This isn't just a literal description of what they were told, but we can see it as an allegory, a metaphor. They want to do things differently. Now, if they are kings, they're not like any kings we know of. They're not traveling around with royal guards. They don't have fancy cars to drive them around. They are traveling as, we'll presume, three travelers alone. They are willing to leave behind what society told them was important. Now, this is very easy for me to say about the Magi who came to visit Jesus. But what about us? Are we willing to leave behind the things that tie us down? Are we willing to set aside our preoccupations? And this is where I'm going to shift into announcement mode, but if you're on a committee, your reports for annual meeting are due on January 12th. Why do I raise that now? Because all of us have something to give to the church. Not just a gift of money, but a gift of time and talents and skills. And you will be hearing from the nominating committee shortly, asking you to serve in different roles in the church. And my hope is that you will do that, and that you'll be open to what God may be asking you to do. Now, I am not saying that we are spokespeople for God. I'm not saying that God is speaking through me. Not going to do that. But the church is supposed to be the body of Christ on earth. And the Christ we are embodying is the one who was born in the manger 2,000 years ago. Jesus' work is not done. Now that should be obvious, right? If Jesus' work was done, we wouldn't need to be here. We wouldn't need to be telling these stories and singing these hymns. But God's time is not our time. And yes, God works on a different schedule than the one we humans would put together. We would have had Jesus return in glory a long time ago. But that presumes that Jesus returning would not change things for us. But Jesus' return does change things. And Jesus' birth changed things. And the fact that we are still focused on this story 2,000 years later is a testament to the power of what was written in the Gospels. And more importantly, what has been experienced by the faithful throughout the years. So later we're going to be celebrating communion. And I'm going to fast forward the story tape to Easter. And we'll all remember what happens on Easter. Jesus rises again. We believe in a God who is with us, a God who is living and real and present, and a God who is with us whether the sanctuary is full or the sanctuary is sparsely peopled. We believe in a God who will provide us protection and comfort regardless of what is going on in our lives, and that is something that we can bank on. So if you've wondered who these guys are, I can't tell you what their names were. I can't tell you where they came from. I can't tell you how many of them were. But I will tell you what they did was important. And it was important not just historically, but it's important in our own lives that we should be willing to follow the star wherever we find it that will lead us towards God in Jesus. Willingness to take that journey is really important. And you might get the answers you're looking for tomorrow, or you might spend the rest of your life trying to get those answers. But the search is worth the effort. The journey is worth the effort. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the Magi and for all the people in Scripture who are testaments to the desire to know you and to seek you out. We thank you for coming to be with us in the person of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.